Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Of God's children had to come to the place where we personally ask Jesus to be our Savior. That there's no other way to the Lord except through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to get to heaven, have forgiveness of sins, but through Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, we understood that God had a plan in mind from the foundation of the world, and that is the church. And that the church was designed to make even the principalities and powers look down and go, wow, only God could have done this. And as we go through chapter 4, we could see that part of what amazes the heavens, what amazes the principalities and powers in the air, is that sinners like us can come together in unity. And that the beginning of chapter 4 was explaining that each local church was to have one Lord, one body, one baptism. And it goes on and talks about that unity. And then we explained this morning that one of the mechanisms to help unity in the church was the gift of the pastor. And we explained the pastor's job and the pastor's responsibility. With the same context of understanding that through biblical leadership that God desires to have unity, and that part of the pastor's job is to get everyone to look toward the Lord and everyone move forward together to follow after him. Let's continue with Ephesians chapter 4 and let's see a little bit more of this unity by looking at the Lord. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 14. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 14, the word of God says this, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Ephesians chapter 4? The book of Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 15, notice the phrase, may grow up into him. May grow up into him. With the Lord's help, we want to preach on this phrase, may grow up into him, understanding that with it, we're understanding the idea of spiritual growth, that we may grow up into him. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great privilege of being the pastor of this church. Thank you for the great privilege of having the Bible to open up, to investigate, to learn, to see what you have in mind. And I know that you have great things planned for this church, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. I'm looking forward to seeing as these good folks continue to grow in grace and grow into you, Lord, that you are our goal, that we are designed to become like you. That's your desire while we're all here on this earth as well, that we could be more like you each and every day, keep moving towards you. Lord, as we explain this principle of spiritual growth, I'm asking that you would do something above and beyond myself. Lord, with the things going on with my back, I dare not trust my own. I cannot trust my own. So I'm the best I know how. I give that to you. I ask that you fill me with your Holy Spirit, that you would take my back, you would take my mind, you would take my thoughts, you would take my words, that everything that is done and said would be for the purpose of you helping these folks, for the purpose that your name is glorified. Lord, open up your word, open up understanding in a special way, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now remember, in the direct context, it is talking about unity in the first part of chapter 4. It goes on to explain that with that unity, that God has given gifts unto all men, and pastors are part of the gifts. And that part of what the pastor is to do is to perfect the saints, or help them to grow maturely, to help them to become spiritually mature. Now, with that idea that the pastor is supposed to help the saints become spiritually mature, let's go and examine this. First of all, I want to show you the need to grow. The need to grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 14, as we see the need to grow, it starts off by explaining, or it gives a description of new Christians. Notice as it gives this description of new Christians. Now, you understand that when someone comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, you start off as a babe in Christ, and you have to grow spiritually just like you did physically. And so it describes this idea of babes in Christ. And so when we're speaking of this, we're not speaking necessarily of brand new babies that you bring home from the hospital. We're talking about brand new Christians who may be sitting in church. Talking about Christians who may be saved for a while, but maybe have not grown, that the Bible is explaining that they need to grow. And it first off describes what new Christians are like. Notice in verse 14. Now, with the idea that we are supposed to grow and mature, that we henceforth be no more children. Notice this term children. This word children is the term that actually carries the idea of one not old enough to speak. So when it's saying children, that we be henceforth no more children, it's referring to a type of child that cannot speak, or a toddler, an infant. So it's like an infant, so we be no more like children, or an infant that you could pick up and has no control, and you set the baby wherever you want, right? When you took that little baby home, it didn't have a choice. Wherever you placed the baby is where the baby sat, right? And so here's a description of babes in Christ that were no more children, that they could be picked up and placed wherever they want. They didn't have a choice. They didn't have a vote. They don't care. They have no discernment. They just know, picked up, put down, pick up, put down. And so here it's saying that we're henceforth no more children, no more type of children that just picked up and put down. Notice as it describes it some more in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. This idea of to and fro is the idea of surging like a sea, that he's still learning the Christian life. And what's happening is that this Christian, their opinions are still changing. That as the tides go in, yes, I think it's all right to do this. No, it's not. Yeah, no. What's happening is that the brand new Christian is starting to formulate, trying to come up with what they believe. And as they're being taught, what happens is that as someone gets with them and influences them, they could be swayed one way, and then they could be swayed over here. That their opinions, their convictions have not been set. By the way, that's why it's so important to have a pastor, that as you have a pastor and you don't have convictions on it, borrow my convictions until yours are set. Just so that way you're stabilized. But a Christian, by the way, outside with no church, a Christian with no pastor, they are much easily tossed to and fro and having their opinions changed. That one day they believe this, and then one day it's this. One day it's, you know, I really need to be in church. People need to be in church. You give them a couple days and get blown up the dock. Well, it's not really important that I be in church or not. You understand that baby Christians haven't formulated. They continue to change. They're tossed to and fro. That we would henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. This word of carried carries the same idea of someone that's born hither and thither. It's like a sick man that has to be carried on a gurney. That once again, he has no strength of his own, that he is dependent on someone to carry him. And so what's happening is that this person, a brand new Christian, they're carried about with every wind of doctrine. That as they're influenced from this radio preaching, oh yeah, that makes sense. And then they go to church and hear preaching here. Oh, well, that makes sense. And what happens is that they're tossed to and fro. That's the Bible is describing baby Christians, and that baby Christians, they need to learn that they have a need. This is their need. They have a need to grow much spiritually. And that if they don't grow, they're constantly going to be carried around with every wind of doctrine. They're constantly not going to choose themselves what they believe. Other people are going to influence them and choose what they believe. And so they're going to need to get to the place where they could learn to walk on their own. For example, you have a brand new baby. And a brand new baby is never allowed to walk. They have to carry it all around. Well, that may be cute for the first year, but after about 3 years old, you kind of want the baby to walk on its own, right? You don't want to have to take the baby and pick it up and carry it from bed to the breakfast table and then from the breakfast table to where, you know, you want the baby to be able to stand and to walk on its own. And so it's carrying this idea of calling brand new Christians babies. And it's not a derogatory term. It's just a description of where they currently at. And that they have a need to grow and to mature. Now, with the idea of describing the new Christians, we also have to be aware that it also describes of those that are trying to take advantage of the new Christians. Do you understand that Satan and false teachers have a desire to grab brand new Christians and shipwreck them doctrinally immediately? Immediately. Notice as it goes on in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried around with every wind of doctrine. Notice this, by the sleight of men. This word sleight carries the idea of a cube, kind of like dice. And so it's metaphorically someone who, it's speaking metaphorically, speaking of someone who would be sly and trickery. That, you know, they slide the dice. They're trying to use the dice in a way that they get advantage. Oh, let's roll by chance. This is where that word comes from, with every sleight of men. So what happens is it's describing that there are people trying to go after the baby Christians that are trying to trick them, that are trying to fool them, that are trying to deceive them. Notice as it goes on, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. This cunning craftiness, we carry the word subtlety. It's the same term that was referred to of Satan in the Garden of Eden, that it was subtle. Someone that would be sly about the words, that they would try to do sleight of hand, that, you know, follow the pebble underneath the cups and see if you could figure it out. The sleight of hand. You understand that there are many people who are trying to deceive baby Christians. Satan is after them immediately. And that if he can plant false doctrine at the very beginning of their Christian life, it is going to be very hard to root that out. And they're going to resist rooting that out when someone, pastor, comes up and says, you know what? You should probably not watch that person on TBN anymore. They are going to wreck you. But they're my favorite preacher. You know, you're being taught wrong. Well, I believe whatever they, you know, what's going to happen is that it's going to be harder to correct some of the things that are mistaught later on. And that there's a race. When a Christian gets saved, there is a race to see who's going to reach them first, to train them, to love on them, whether it's going to be a good local church with a Bible or the radio preacher or the Jehovah's Witnesses that knock on the door or the person down the street or whatever else. And that whoever gets to them first is going to be the one to influence them for the rest of their life. So this is so important. Notice as it goes on. And verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That what's happening is that they're looking for their chance to lead people away. This is where false doctrine comes. This is where wolves, there are wolves that will come to a church that they'll try to be as quiet as possible. When they find a baby Christian, they'll try to take that baby Christian and try to teach them. They're lying in wait, waiting to deceive, waiting to pull them aside. That's why a pastor's job is to guard the sheep and to protect from the wolves, because those wolves can tear up those babies and to hurt them immediately. And so as we're covering the idea of spiritual growth, we see the first thing, that there is a need to grow, and that it is a very important need. Notice as we go on with the ingredients to grow. So how do they grow? Notice with me in verse number 15. But speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. We understand that if we speak the truth without love, it's ungracious. And if we speak love without truth, it's unfaithful. That we need both elements. We have to speak the truth in love. That what is this? This is discipleship. This is we're pulling them aside and taking the time to lovingly teach them what they need to know. Speaking the truth in love. Every Christian needs to be discipled. Every Christian. And they need to be taught. What do we mean by discipleship? Well, let me define my terms. We define discipleship as developing the habit of obedience to Christ. And that every Christian should go through discipleship. Every Christian needs to be discipled. Every Christian needs to be taught to go beside and help them develop the habit of obedience to Christ. And that means sometimes to lovingly tell someone, you are wrong. You need to fix this. It needs to be helped. But you do it with love. You understand that if you love someone, you could tell them anything if they know that you love them. That you need to love them. So you have to have both elements. We can't just, you're wrong. We have to lovingly go with them and go beside them and help them walk. Help them go on. For example, let's go back to the baby. All right, the baby's first to take his first step. You know, on shaky legs, just finally let go. I got to take a step. Yay! All right, now if the baby takes that first step and then falls, we don't go, get up or I'm going to spank you right now. All right, that's not practical, all right? We need to love on them. We need to encourage them. But at the same time, we have to continue to encourage them to take another step, to keep trying, to keep going, to keep encouraging. That's the same thing. We try to help people, Christians, grow step by step by step. And we love on them. And sometimes we do correct them. Sometimes we have to protect them. Sometimes we have to chastise them. Sometimes we encourage them. But that's all part of that truth in love. To go beside them and to help them take the next step. To help them to go on. To help them move forward. To help them to keep going for the Lord. Notice as we go on that we see that there's a need to grow. We see the ingredients to grow. But I want to show you one thing in this passage. Another thing. We see the head of growth. The head of growth. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter 4. And notice with me in verse 15 again. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him, that's Christ, in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compact it by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. That we understand that in the context, God gave gifts to the church to help stimulate growth. And that what is happening is that God is the one that directs. Help them grow. Help them grow. He sends a pastor. He uses biblical authority to help people grow. And that as people obey that biblical authority, they grow more. We're going to go over spiritual growth here in a second. But someone had already asked the question, how do we move from one stage to another? How do we go from babes to little children? How do we go from little children to children? How do we go from little children to young men? How do we go to young men to fathers? How do we go to fathers to the elders? How do we go to elders to the aged? How do we go to the next step? Well, this is key. You guys ready for it? Obey. Obey. That as we obey biblical leadership, you will grow. And the more that you obey, the more you'll grow. The opposite is true, is that when you tell biblical leadership no, you hinder your growth. So that means there are some people who grow really fast. You want to know the secret? Why do some people, when they get saved, they start maturing immediately? Because they're obedient. Because they're learning. Now remember, when we're using the word learning, we're not talking about book smart. We're talking about learning obedience. That as they obey, they grow faster. People who grow slower It's because they're disobedient. And God wants to stimulate growth. And so we understand that some people grow faster and some people grow slower. And there are times where it looks like the growth is slow, but they're still growing. But we keep them going. We keep encouraging. We keep loving on them. But that's the key, that God directs the biblical leadership, and the biblical leadership helps promote growth, and that people grow by obeying, by moving forward. And so if someone has lived their entire Christian life, they've been saved 20 years and they're still a babe in Christ, why is that? Because they haven't obeyed. If somebody's at a different stage of growth and they've been there forever, what's the matter? There's something they need to obey on. There's something they need to do. That we could get to the places that each of the spiritual growth have plateaus where you could grow as far as you can until you move forward to the next level. And then you grow fast and then you kind of plateau a little bit more. That we're supposed to continue to move forward at all times. Not be satisfied with plateauing, but satisfied with continually advancing for the Lord. Keep growing in Him. And which is tied into the idea that we talked about this morning about the key to the pastor, the gift of the pastor. The pastor is trying to encourage you to keep growing. That we explained this morning that the pastor desires more for the people than what they want for themselves. And he gives them things to do. He encourages them, helps them out. And they choose to obey or disobey, even in small things. We gave the example this morning of memory verses. That you either obey or you disobey. And you say, is it memory verses that big of a deal? It's not just the idea of memory verses. It's the idea, are you going to obey? We're trying to help you develop the habit of obedience to Christ. If I could give a different example, that, you know, we encourage people to use the altars. There's nothing magical about the altars whatsoever. All right, there's no secret magical thing, but they allow people to take a step to move forward, to go ahead and make a decision. Now, we don't want people to come to the altars every time. We want you to come to the altar to make a specific decision for the Lord. So if we're preaching on Bible reading and God says you need to read your Bible more, you come and make a decision. Where I'm going to read my Bible, how long I'm going to read my Bible, where am I going to read my Bible at? You're making a specific decision. Now, when I give that encourage people to use the altar, you are either going to obey or disobey. Now, did I give anything illegal, immoral, or biblical? No. So with that, you try to do your best. You know, people will move a lot further in their Christian life if they obey the little things, even if it doesn't make sense to them. The Bible gives a principle in Proverbs that if we obey, understanding will come after we obey. But we obey first. Now, again, as long as the pastor is following the Lord and moving people along, you should do your best. Why? Is it, again, we're talking, mixing messages from what we talked about this morning. Is it because pastor's trying to dominate and be a dictator? No. He's honestly trying to promote growth. He's trying to encourage you. He's trying to teach people to develop the habit of obedience so they continue to grow in the Lord. Does that make sense? So with that, if you don't mind, let's take some time to explore the stages of spiritual growth. Good. Mr. Josh and Miss Serena, come here really quick and hurriedly pass this out to everyone, including the teeny boppers like y'all, right? Teenagers, youthful people. Good. And so if you don't mind, let's take this time. This is a simplified chart based off of the things given in the Bible that explains the stages of spiritual growth. And at this time, I want you to try to be spiritually discerning of yourself. Where do you fit in this? Where are you at in the idea of spiritual growth? Which each of these ideas of spiritual growth, we have characteristics, we have the problems, and we have the solutions. And again, this is just a simplified form, a simplified thing that the just try to give a good understanding of what the Bible says concerning these things. Now, the first stage of spiritual growth, that once someone comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they become what we call a babe in Christ. A babe in Christ. And a babe desires, their characteristic is they desire milk. That they desire the milk of the Word, the basic things of the Bible, to love Christ, to learn about what salvation is, to understand it, to have a little bit more of discipleship. Good. That we have these characteristics for a babe in Christ. Thank you, sir. Is that a babe, when they first get saved, this is good stuff. They need the basics of what the Bible said. They're not interested in knowing all about Melchizedek and all that other stuff. They're trying to get a hold of the basic stuff that Jesus died on the cross for me. And still realizing what this is a great thing. Now, what's their problem? What's their spiritual problem? The babe in Christ is that they're unaware of spiritual truths. That just like your baby at home, the baby's just concerned with eating, right? The baby doesn't care what's on TV. We're talking a little baby that you bring home. It doesn't care what's on TV. It doesn't care what's going on. It just feed me, change me, sleep time, right? It's pretty basic. They're unaware of spiritual truths. They're not discerning of things out there in the world. Now, what is their need? They need to be loved, just what we talked about here, and given assurance of salvation. A babe in Christ, one of the things that they need from the get-go is to have assurance that they're not going to lose their salvation. That their salvation is based off of what Christ did, and what Christ did, it is finished. And when they understand that I can't lose my salvation, it's going to help them to go to the next stage. The second stage is a little child. Now, what is a little child? What is its characteristics? They disobey in works and actions. So we're talking about someone who could be 50 years old and they could be a little child in the Lord. I don't care what pastor says. I'm not going to read my Bible. Someone in biblical authority can ask them to do something. I don't have to, just like a little child, right? You have a two-year-old. No, no, no. You've been through the terrible two stages. Christians can go through that stage too, that they're testing their boundaries. They're trying to see what they can get away with. Now, as a two-year-old, do you let the two-year-old do whatever it wants, even if it says no? Not if you're going to help them grow and mature. There are times that they're going to be told, no, you need to do it anyways. You have to lovingly go with them and help them take the next step. No, you need to go with this. You need to work with them. But a little child, they disobey in words and actions. Biblical authority, a discipler can give the disciplee something to do, and they go, I'm not going to do it. Now, they may not come to a conscious choice of rebelling. They're just, don't do it. Hey, memorize these verses. How come he didn't memorize the verses? I don't know. That's what a little child does, is they're disobedient. They disobey with the things it's giving to them. So what's their problem? Well, their problem, their characteristics is they're disobedient. What's their problem? Well, they're easily deceived. That they're easily fooled. You understand that just because someone calls himself a Christian doesn't mean they're a Christian. Just because someone's a Christian doesn't make what they touch a Christian. For example, if a so-called Christian writes music, doesn't mean the music's Christian. If a so-called Christian writes a book, it doesn't mean the book's Christian. If a Christian makes a movie, doesn't mean the movie's a Christian. You understand that? You understand that a lot of Christians think that's true, that if a Christian wrote a book, that it must be a Christian book. Doesn't mean so. That just because a Christian is on TV doesn't mean that everything they say is true. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish that every thing that you saw on TV concerning Christianity was true, but it is not. And there is a lot of things on the radio and a lot of things that are purposely trying to deceive people. What's another problem? That a little child is up and down emotionally. I'm happy, I'm sad. I'm happy, I'm sad. There's no stability. That there are times there are emotional highs and sometimes they're in deep valleys. And there's no stabilization emotionally for them. That they're currently always on a spiritual tidal wave, up and down. That is a characteristic of a little child. Now again, we're not trying to be mean or demoralizing. For example, we wouldn't take one of these little ones that's in our church and expect them to be able to drive a car. Why not? Well, they're not spiritually mature for it. That we're just understanding the stage that they're at, and we're trying to understand how we could help them to grow in the Lord. And we take them step by step. Does it make sense? And so we're still talking about a little child. The characteristic is that they're disobedient in words and actions. Their problem is that they're easily deceived. They're up and down emotionally. What do they need? They need protection and correction. So we take the little two-year-old, all right? No, I'm not going to do it. You know what they need? Correction. Are you being mean because you correct them? No, you're being very loving to correct them. A little child, does a little child, a little toddler, has some guy in the park, hey, you want some candy or pet a puppy? Do they understand that there's danger in that? No. So you know what you do? Stay away from my child, right? You protect them. Well, that's part of what a little child is that they need protection. No, 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 you don't need to watch this. Just come over here with us. No, 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 you don't need to listen to those. Come here with us. And then when they throw the fit, no, we don't behave that way. Let's go over here and we try to love on them. Make sense? And that, again, 50-year-old people can be in this stage when they first accept Christ as their Savior, or perhaps they don't grow in that. So we're not talking about age physically in here. We're talking about spiritually, where they are in Christ. Now, as they grow up, they come to the idea of a child. Now they grow up a little bit more. Maybe you think of 8 years old. Now, their characteristic is they have no understanding. You understand that 8-year-olds sometimes do not understand that there's a danger? Why can't I climb the ladder to the top of the roof and go play up on the roof? That sounds like a great idea. You understand they don't understand that there's a danger to that. Right? Maybe some 10-year-olds or 11-year-olds do that too, right? Yeah, that's a great idea. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, we understand that some children don't understand. Why can't I give my money to this organization over here? Isn't it good as giving it to the church? No, and you're not going to understand if I explain it. Just not a good idea. Well, why do I have to read my Bible all the time? Well, you may not understand, but you need to do that. You need to do it. Why do I need to come to church every service? Well, just start obeying and we'll work with it. Why do I have to be in Sunday school? You know, we're trying to work with them. They don't understand. And that sometimes we just need to encourage them. Well, just be faithful and things will grow. Just come, help us out. Notice what is the problem. The problem of a child is complaining, gossiping, and crying. So what is a child? It's not fair. Christians do that. It's not fair. Well, that's one of the characteristics of this stage, of crying. Everything's going bad. It's going horrible. That's the stage they're in. Gossiping. You understand that a lot of people gossip don't even realize they gossip? I can't believe the pastor did that. Do you think what the pastor did was right? They're not meaning to gossip. They're just not discerning that they are gossiping. Do you believe what the pastor did? What do you think what the pastor, how do you think the things are going in the church, whatever else? And they start talking with other people. And what happens, other people start getting in their mind. That's not trying to hit so much on gossiping. But when you start gossiping to someone, that someone who originally didn't have a problem now has the same problem as you did because you brought it up. Well, I didn't think it was a problem with the lights flickering until, you know, that's a bad example. All right, you know. Well, I didn't think it was a problem that the bathrooms were painted lavender until someone else told me about it. Now I have a problem with it too. You know, just because someone said, I don't like the lavender color. It just looks ugly. Well, someone who didn't care about it before now cares about it. Does that make sense? But that comes from a little child who's complaining, who's crying. But that's the stage they're in. That's the current stage that they're in, right? You take a little 8-year-old and let them have a bad day at school. The teacher hates me, right? Does the teacher really hate them? No. What they're doing is they're crying. They're throwing a fit. They're complaining. Now, what is their need, a child? They need to be discipled. They need to be loving on. Remember, discipleship is helping them develop the habit of obedience to Christ. So they need to be lovingly put, and let's read our Bibles. Here, I understand that you don't understand why it's so important to read your Bible, but let's start reading your Bible and you'll understand later. You may not understand why we're doing these verses, but you'll understand later. You know, you understand? We're trying to walk beside them and help them to have understanding. Good. You guys haven't checked out on me yet, have you? You still with me? Good. All right. Now, the next stage is a young man. The young man. Now, the characteristics of a young man is that he's strong in the Lord and has overcome the enemy. Now, this is a key phrase, that they're strong in the Lord. This is a Christian who has now come to the place where they're consistent in their Christian life. That it's no longer, am I going to go to church? Am I not going to go to church? They're going to be faithful. They're faithful with their Bible reading. They're faithful with their prayer life. They're not tossed to and fro. They've had to stand against the enemy and had to develop convictions of their own. This is what I believe and why. They've been challenged. They've been proven. And now they've developed a consistency in their Christian life. So things that used to bother them before is no longer a big deal. That they've made decisions to follow the Lord, and the Lord has rewarded them. Now, what's the problem of young men? Many temptations and pride. You let a Christian, when Christians get to the stage and they start learning more about the Bible, they look at everyone else who doesn't know what they know, and they feel a need to tell the people, well, you know, you need to fix this. You know, it's usually trivial things, but they get to the place where they know more than other people, and they want to teach the other people what I know because you don't know it. And it's not in a way to help them. It's a way to say, look at how good I am. What they start bragging on themselves. Well, let me tell you how good of a Christian I am. You know, if you're that good of a Christian, you don't need to tell people about it. It will show. But if you have to brag on how great of a person you are, there's a problem. If you have to tell people about how fantastic you are, you know, that's pride. That's the thing. You don't have to brag about how great you are, that God will promote you. God will provide, that everyone else doesn't need to know all of your accolades and have to see how great you are. Quick, pat me on the back. Or, you know, someone who says, hey, you want to know how great I am? I'm amazing. Quick, touch me. You know, I touch someone amazing. Yay. You know, that gets to the place of pride. This comes, the Bible talks about in Corinthians that knowledge puffeth up. The more knowledge they have, the more in danger they are of pride. Unless you learn to have wisdom, which is knowledge applied, which is part of the thing that they need. So for a young man, they're strong in the Lord and they've overcome the enemy. What's the problem? Many temptations and pride. There's a lot of temptations to get them to stop being strong. They're fighting. They're in the midst of the spiritual battle. Now, before, the battle is coming to them and trying to keep them from living the Christian life. Now, they're constantly in the fight. Now, let me tell you a truth, that some people who are in the younger stages, the spiritual battles do not go away. They intensify. And by the time a young man is here, he is constantly in the spiritual fight. It is a constant fight going on, but he's winning victories. But he has to be careful because he may think that he's the one getting the victories and not the Lord getting the victories. And the Bible says that beware lest you take a fall. You got to be careful of pride. And what's their need? They need to continue discipleship. They need to finish it. They need to complete it. They need, you know, just because you go through a year course doesn't mean you're done with discipleship. You understand that? That it is, that the lessons, the school of hard knocks is the most effective school. And that's what's happening, is that even if you graduate a course, you are still learning, and you still have a pastor that's walking beside you, and still have friends and that are loving you and still encouraging you, helping you to be complete in Christ. Now we come to the next stages. Most Christians will never grow past the young men. You could write that down, put it up there. Most Christians, this is their top. This is where they level out. This is where they never grow at. They never grow past this. The next stage, this is a whole different field altogether. Most Christians who become mature, most Christians who've been in a church and are pillars in the church, stop at the young man stage and never grow further. The next stage after this is the father. Now, any person can conceive a child. It doesn't make them a father. A father is someone who has taken the responsibility to oversee and raise that child correctly. So A father in the Lord is someone who's won someone to the Lord and has worked with someone successfully to help them develop the habit of obedience to Christ. That it's no longer about themselves, but now they are taking care of others, helping them to grow in the Lord. That they've reproduced disciples. That they've helped raise someone in the Lord. Now, what's their problem? Now, again, the spiritual problems don't go away. Their problem now is priorities. They are responsible for a lot of things. You understand, in real life, I am a pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a citizen, I have, you know, you have to work. You understand, you have all of those hats. You can't say, well, you know what, I'm going to quit being a father so that way I can be good at these other things. You can't say, well, I'm going to forget being a husband part so I could be a good dad and be a good pastor and be... You understand, you can't do that. You have to prioritize. And that is a battle that they constantly have to work with until they get it nailed down, of making sure that they are doing all the things that God has given to them successfully without neglecting one of those things. That is a big fight of priorities, of making sure that they have the right priorities. Then, what is their need? They need wisdom. Why do they need wisdom? They need to apply things. They just because they're active in the church doesn't mean I can neglect my family. I have to do my homework. I have to make sure things are taken care of at home. Just because I'm the pastor of the church doesn't mean I can neglect my children. Or I can't spend so much time with my family that I neglect the pastor. Now, you put that in whatever position you want. For example, you can't call off work and say, you know what, I'm going to take a month just because I feel like I need to spend time with my kids. Right? That's not going to go well. You have to prioritize and successfully achieve all that God has given you to do without neglecting Him. That takes wisdom. And that's something someone at this stage is fighting with because they have to do those responsibilities and they must be done. Now, the next stage after that is an elder. This is someone who has not only trained someone to be obedient to Christ, but now they're at the stage where they're training others to be fathers. They're training the fathers how to be good fathers. They're working with them. They're training people in discipleship. Now, what's their problems? Well, the problems is there's victories and trials in the spiritual war. You want to talk about a spiritual war raging? That is something that baby Christians couldn't understand, the war that they're fighting with now. That Satan is working in that. This is when they're starting to get Satan's attention, because they've learned to die to self. That's the young man stage. They've learned to not look at just themselves, but train others. And they're working on others to move forward. But the spiritual war is raging. Because if Satan can knock these people off, he will hurt everyone else who's looking at that person. Does it make sense? And so that's constantly going on. So what is their need? To stay faithful. Not to quit. To keep going. To keep going. To do those things that God has given them to do. And then the last stage of spiritual growth is the aged. These are people who are in leadership and discipleship. That not only have they discipled people, not only have they trained people in discipleship, but they're now at the place where they're training others and they're encouraging discipleship. They're moving so that way we can continue to have spiritual growth in the church and the churches around them. They're leadership in this. What is their problem? To face a temptation to take shortcuts spiritually. What does that mean? Well, let's take me for example. I've preached for a while and I have plenty of messages. You understand, I could get to the place where, I don't care. Let me just go pull a message from the hat and just kind of read from it. And it'll work. Nobody will notice. Well, you understand, God will notice. I could preach in my own flesh and it still work. Because I've learned, say this, do this, whatever else. But I could also lose the power of God and what God is doing through it. That I could get to the place where, you understand that the longer that you're a Christian doesn't mean that it's easier to read your Bible. Sometimes it's harder to read your Bible effectively. You know why? I've read my Bible well over 50 times. I could get to the temptation. Yeah, I know this story and I could say the story in my head. That's not the same as reading the Bible for yourself. I could get to the place where as a pastor, I don't pray anymore. I just know what I'm supposed to do. Stand up, say this, do this, whatever else. You understand if I stop praying, I die spiritually? You want to know why pastors, you say, how in the world did this pastor run away with his secretary? He stopped reading his Bible. He stopped praying. He took shortcuts in his life. And he's writing off of what he learned before. And what happens? That well runs dry. So what's his spiritual problem? The problem, the temptation to take shortcuts. What is his need? To finish right. To continue to look to the Lord. Continue to grow. Not to take the shortcuts. Not to coast. Not to ride the wave. But to continually advance forward in his walk with the Lord. Now these are the stages of spiritual growth. And hopefully you're discerning enough to kind of see where you're at. And again, it's not a derogatory. It's just identifying where they're at. We don't take one of these other kids and say, how come? You know, we don't take little Joshua and say, how come you're not like big Joshua? Well, he's not mature enough. He's not at the same stage. We don't yell at people because they're at a stage of growth. We take people from where they are and help them to go to the next level and continue to take steps and continue to move forward. But in order to help them, we have to understand where they are. There are things that we would expect of a father that we would never expect of a little child, correct? And so there are different expectations for different people in the church. There are different requirements. There are different ways of correcting. I would correct a little child a lot different than what I would correct. Let's use it this way. I would correct a staff member a lot differently than a brand new Christian who got saved. I don't treat them the same because they're not at the same stage, at the same level. Now, again, what's the whole purpose? That in order to have unity in the church, we need to continue to grow in the Lord. That we're all taking steps forward. We're all moving forward. And part of the pastor's job is to encourage growth. To encourage moving forward. To encourage to take another step. To go alongside with it. Because as soon as we stop moving forward, the church begins to die. You understand? This is an important thing. But as long as we're all moving forward, as long as we're all looking towards Christ, God is going to do something to the church that's going to make people go, wow. Make people say, there's something going on. There's something different about that place. And that's what I want. But we all need to be growing forward. And so what do we do with something like this? Well, first of all, I want you to recognize where you're at spiritually. If you were to be honest, where would you be at on that chart? Where would you be at and what is needed? What steps need to be taken in your life? And that we're going to lovingly grow and work with you. If you say, I don't know where you're on the chart, that's fine. Well, good thing is that you got people who love you and are going to disciple you, who are going to go with you, and we're going to take you and help you go to the side. But every single one of us, from the pastor on down, should always be moving forward. Always growing closer to Christ. Always looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. And God has got some amazing things within our church that we're looking forward to. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.